From the distance, you might not know anything out of the ordinary was happening, but get close enough and you'd see in this former military base in California desert, on this race course, where something important was missing. What was missing? The human drivers. There were no people in these race cars. Instead, the cars were chock full of sensors, cameras, and GPS receivers. Onboard computers were doing the driving. It was a contest between robotic cars to see which ones could navigate simulated city streets. Sort of a mock military mission. And the point is, you couldn't hit anything. You couldn't hit anybody. And you had to arrive at the finish line safely, and you got a lot of points for getting there as quickly as possible, although you didn't have to get there to be the first one. There's a lot of points given here. My next guest said it was a good day in robot land. His team from Carnegie Mellon partnered with General Motors to send a souped-up 2007 Chevy Tahoe named Boss. They came home with a first-place prize, and he joins us today to talk about the race and why the sponsor, the Department of Defense, is interested in robotic vehicles. William Red Whitaker is professor in the Robotic Institute at Carnegie Mellon. He joins us today from Orlando. Welcome to the program.
Thrilled to be here.
How exciting was this?
This was uncanny. It was miraculous. On Saturday, the robots, the human traffic, stunned and inspired everybody that was there.
Wow. So you had a bunch of cars. How autonomous were they? How much robotics were they on their own to get around this track?
Fully autonomous, and that means that there is no radio control, that these machines are really thinking machines. They sense on their own, plan on their own, drive on their own. Nothing is coming from them, and no direction is going to them.
And so what gave you the competitive edge?
Boss, the name of our Tahoe, is an unbelievable planning machine. It can do very well in four lanes, on-road, off-road, dirt roads, traffic, parking, and tight maneuvers that many human drivers would have a tough time getting out of.
So it had to do all those things. Did it have to parallel park?
As it turned out, and of course, nobody knew what the competition would be beforehand, but think how it turned out. The setting was more like a big mall parking lot where it pulled into parking spots and pulled out. Hmm. But if it was presented or confronted with a problem like parallel park, then it does that extremely well.
Mm-hmm. So you had the 60-mile course, you had a mock city environment, and you had to obey very stringent California driving rules, right?
It was interesting to obey some mild speed limits and still have to put together the hottest overall time, which was another amazing matter. With those restrictions on a short course, pretty phenomenal to gap the field by almost 20 minutes.
Does the car have in its brain have to know what the course looks like as it goes through it and figure out what turns it's going to make in advance, or does it go to an intersection and say, well, where do I go now?
All of the above. Mm-hmm. So in the same way that a human driver might start with a general notion of where they were going, maybe something like MapQuest or a familiar route, the specific circumstances of other traffic, parked cars, and pedestrians only reveal themselves when you're in the live action of driving. So all those things influence driving, whether it's human or robotic.
1-800-989-8255 if you'd like to talk about this great driving machine. And talking with William Red Whitaker, professor of the Robotics Institute at Carnegie Mellon. The whole point of this was to help out the military, right? Figure out a way to take the soldiers out of the picture as if they don't need to drive these vehicles.
Well, the organizers are Department of Defense, and there's immense impact for resupply, driving trucks, convoys, reconnaissance, ultimately active fire. But other markets that draw on the technology are agriculture, mining, exploration. That and the big one from this town racing is introducing the technology to the automotive world, which might be the biggest of biggest market of all.
Yeah, we know that the military, a lot of things start out in the military and work their way to consumers.
A lot of things start out in racing and make their way to consumers.
We're talking with William Red Whitaker, professor in the Robotics Institute at Carnegie Mellon. Their car boss won the DARPA Challenge and is very proud of it. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. So where do you go from here? Is there a souped up, or do you move on to the next round of challenges, or do you work on just building a better car?
This is what we do. This is who we are. And for us, there's always a next step and next step in automation. One of the most intriguing robotics prizes that's now on the street is the Google Lunar X Prize, which offers $25 million for a robot on the moon, and we plan to win that one.
You're going to build the rocket too, or you just have to build the car?
Anything goes, as long as it's very much like the challenge that just occurred. But the general approach in any innovation is that if you can buy it, don't build it, or if it's been around, don't reinvent the wheel.
Right. So there are rockets already. You don't need to do that.
That's our approach.
You might even find another country than now. The Japanese, the Chinese, you know, the Indians are in the rocket race.
Well, you should be in business development, because the reality is that there's much more of a progressive world that hasn't been there and hasn't done it, and for whom the novelty and the fire and the adventure of exploration would boil the blood.
I would think that if you can get around a parking lot in California and not hit anything, the moon might be a piece of cake.
Well, I never take anything for granted, and it might be a little presumptuous, but the reality is that if we didn't think that it was within the realm of possibility, maybe we wouldn't run. Mm-hmm. Something about these great challenges, whether it's Lindbergh across the ocean or first rocket to the moon, or the challenge that just happened this weekend, is that before they're accomplished, the general consensus is that it is beyond the technical ability of the day. And then the moment they're accomplished, the view is that there was nothing to it. And a really good challenge is designed that way.
You can't go into it thinking it cannot be done.
It's almost like stepping into a boxing ring without already having decided that you're going to win.
Well, can you give me an ETA on this, when we're going to see a touchdown on the moon?
Actually, the Lunar Prize differs from this one. On the Urban Challenge, everybody knew that you showed up and went nose to nose on the same day. And the design of the Lunar Prize is that the first one there that to accomplish it wins the prize. So it would be a little too strategic to talk dates.
Okay. Well, we won't give out any trade secrets then. I want to thank you for taking time to be with us, Red.
Such a thrill.
Good luck, and we'll watch for that moon landing.
You.
William Red Whitaker is professor at the Robotics Institute, Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's all the time we have for today. Greg Smith composed our theme music, and we had help today from NPR librarian Kim Mileski. Surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Also in Second Life and Science School, there are a lot of folks with T-shirts on there. They're wearing Science Friday T-shirts. You can get one of your own and create new friends. Also, we're podcasting and blogging, and we're looking for your videos. You know, send us science, technology-related videos, anything you can come up with. Educational ones. Maybe your kid's in school or working on a science project. We'll collect the videos. We'll edit them a little bit, make them a little more high-tech, put them on our website, and you get to see them and show them to the whole world on our Science Friday video site. Have a great weekend. Want to thank Oliver Sacks one more time and Music Ophelia for dropping by today. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.